An unusual message from an unusual place today. So let's just jump right into it. It's out of the book of Exodus. Now we're going to go way over there and go to chapter 14. Now listen, I want you to understand, most messages, I condense verses and ask you to read them. I could not find a way to condense this passage. There's just too much in it. I don't apologize for scripture, but I don't like to read till you're going, stop already. But this is such a powerful story. It's not a story, it's an event. And I can't find a place to break it up. So bear with me. And then what we're going to do in a different approach is I'm going to read this event and then give you the practical application of it and just the event and what it teaches us, just like that. All right? So it's in Exodus 14, and just try to catch as much as you can catch of this. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," I think I've got some background somewhere. Oh, a radio, okay. "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites." So everybody, and if you're trying to read along, I'm going to read as fast as I can in some places and then try to emphasize others. "The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pharoth and between Migdol and the sea, and they'd encamp by the sea directed opposite, Baal Zephon." Now, these names won't mean anything to you, and they really shouldn't, except when you hear anything, any town or any place that begins with Baal, whatever, realize that town was based on Baal worshipers, devil worshipers. So know that already. So they're hitting and they're encamping up opposite these devil, Baal. The god, bad dudes. Than a bad gods. And so God says, do this, and look what he says. See, they've just been released by the Egyptians, and Pharaoh's not happy about it. And then God said, Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. Catch all this stuff. Why? Because I titled this The Past and the Present. This is our present circumstances. Nothing's changed. We're still being pursued by Pharaoh, and we're being pursued by people with hardened hearts. Look at Israel right now, and Christians all around the world, and they're being, the same thing is happening. And so we got, but have the same God who is intending the same results if we'll just let God do what God does best. Let him be God. And it says, so he's already knowing what Pharaoh's going to do. He said he's going to think the Israelites are just lost and wandering around out here like a bunch of, a bunch of monkeys. That's my translation. Okay. But he said, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told, Pharaoh, that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them. Why would they change? Well, they had said, get them out of here. Go, take all of our gold and silver. And the people just loaded them with all these riches. Get out of here and go. This was after all the plagues, right? You'd think you'd learn your lesson. And so he said, what have we done? It's always that way with evil people. He says, all these people get away, right? And they're going away. And he said, well, what have we done? We've let the Israelites go and they've lost their services. Their services? You kidding me? But they had, you realize, with this many, the guesstimate is between 600,000 and 1.5 million is Israelites. Nobody knows the count for sure. Walked out. These are slave workers. So now all of all of Pharaoh's commerce, everything, his production, is going to come to a grinding halt because his skilled laborers are going out and marching across the desert. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to lie, cheat, steal to get them back. Here's all these Egyptian people, and they've lost, most of them have lost their abilities to do anything but be taskmasters. And look how God works things. And his people, the slaves in Egypt, are the gifted ones, the talented ones. They make all the bricks. They build all the temples. They do everything. They're the blacksmiths. They do it all. And so all of a sudden, you know, that this hardening of the heart, Pharaoh was looking and saying, there goes my labor force walking across the desert. And listen, do you know any politician today, maybe there's one here and there, that, you know, will say one thing and do another, that won't do that? They all do that if it's for their personal gain. Not all. I believe there's some really maybe some Christian, good for honest people out there, but I haven't met them. I know they're there. I'm wanting to believe that. So it says, we've lost our workforce, and so he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him, and he took how many? He took 600 of the best chariots, along with the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all them. This is a good teaching message, and I can't teach all of it, but this is the lower part, southern, lower Egypt. He took all the chariots, and this historians, Herodotus, and all these people write about, he took the chariots of the lower part. He didn't take the chariots of the higher part, but he took these 600 and he manned them with the, he said, the best chariots along. What he meant was the best officers I have. And the Lord, it says, hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. So in a chariot, you had a driver, and then you had a second person, and that's the warrior, that's the fighter. So you had the tank driver and you had the gunner. This is the beginning of armored warfare here, of mobile warfare. So you have the driver whipping the horses, and you got the guy with the sword and the javelin spear to do the fighting. So it depends on the driver to do his thing and wheel that thing around and get it where the best position where the guy can throw. So there it is. Here's his army. So if there's 600 chariots, there's 1,200 right there. And then it says plus all the other chariots. That was of southern Egypt, all that we could gather together for this big rush. Hey, there's a big army going out here. And so the Lord hardened the heart. Have you ever looked up that word and understand what hardened in Scripture means? You know, we read this stuff, and you ever wondered about that? What does it mean when in other places in Scripture you read that God hardened their heart? It means that he allowed them to, with their own evil desires, to corrupt them, that to be totally corrupted. And what a hardened heart in Scripture meant is that they have no kindness or friendliness toward another person. But there's in Hebrew, you're going to want, there's multi-layered when you go to translations. And it means not only, you know, kindness or friendliness, but law, complete loss of compassion. So it means there's a heart that can't be kind, it can't be friendly, and it feels zero. So there is the man that's directing Pharaoh, the whole army of Egypt. He cannot feel anything. I was reading this psychological thing, but it's talking about people in public office who have been there for multiple years fall into this same category. They get so desensitized to criticism and the media and the blah, 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 and everything, that they get to where they have no feeling of kindness, no friendliness. They can't feel any compassion towards anybody. They're only self-centered individuals. Does that might explain why we see what we see in people who've been there too long? Anyway, not a political message, but it gives you insight. So here's this guy, he can't feel. He could care less. Run over you, he didn't care what happens to you. So this is what hardened of the heart, and it means God just gave him over to what was already there. He was already a very hard, he thinks he's God. They thought the people of Egypt thought the Pharaoh was God. So the Egyptians and all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, horsemen, troops pursued the Israelites, overtook them as they camped at the sea near Pharaoh, opposite Baal Zephon. Interesting thing here. They're camped across from an evil people that worship an evil god of their own making, Baal, where they sacrifice their children to the fire. And now and then the fire god comes. Interesting how God, you see how the plagues, every one of the plagues that God performed against Egypt was to counter one of the Egyptian gods. and to mock them and to make fun of them. God's got an interesting sense of humor. Oh, you believe there's a God of the frogs? Well, I'll give you frogs. You think he's the God of the locusts? How about some locusts? You think he's the God of the Nile? I'll turn it blood to blood. And that's what he did. And you've got to realize that's all those plagues had a definite intention. It was whack, 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 all the Egyptian gods. And now they're encamped across from these Baal worshippers who throw their children into the fire. Can you believe that? But they did. And then the fire and the pillar of God comes, and it's here at this place, and God's opposing that. It's like, wow, boy, there was a big thing happening here. There's more than we usually see. If you just watch the movie, okay, you know, Charlton Heston did a good job, okay? You watch the Ten Commandments and all that. But, hey, listen, this is God did the great job. So let me move on. And so, they, you know, here comes everybody, and the people said, cried to Moses. This is so typical of human nature. Friends, if you're ever going to lead, do, make any decisions with people, expect this. It's still the same thing today. So here's the Egyptians. They see all this, you know, here's their armored folks coming, mobile, you know, here's their mobile army. Here they come, horses and chariots. And they said to Moses, and they're scared, they're terrified, and cried out to the Lord. And verse 11 says they cried out to Moses, was it because there's no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? Why don't you, what have you done to us for bringing us out of Egypt? Are you kidding me? Now look at this. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better, you know, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians and to die in the desert. It's like, you see troubles out here? I mean, really frightened. Listen, sure, who wouldn't be frightened? But you'd rather go back and die in slavery? Well, you know, really, think about it. Even common sense would say, hey, if I'm going to die, I'd rather die here fighting than I had slow death back there working for them. But that's not what happened. This is why, listen to me, this is why God says, you must not be anxious. Isn't that what it says in Philippians? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will be yours in Christ Jesus. Why does he say that? Because if you become anxious, you panic. And when you panic, you think stupid. And then you do stupid things. And then you're going to regret it the rest of your life. Has anybody ever panicked and done something really stupid? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I mean, you look back on it and go, all with panic. And so it's why you can't afford it. That's why he says, don't. Give prayer with supplication, petition God with whatever it is, and let God give you peace. God's got it. God's got you. It's going to be all right. So they're freaking out. And they're saying, they're blaming Moses now and said, why didn't you just leave us there? Look, you rat. Look what you've done. That's basically what they're saying to Moses. And then Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, listen to this, the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. Now that's faith. And he said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You keep this in mind today. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. Don't get in his way. We're our worst own enemy. We're worst enemies lots of times. And the Lord said to Moses, look at this. I love this. This is great. Here's the great commander-in-chief. What did he say? The Lord. He's our commander-in-chief. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. You ever catch this? This is great. God is now talking like a commander. He's talking like a first sergeant. You know, tell him to move on. Get on with this. Why? Because when trouble comes and you sit still and start whining and griping and complaining, the devil, with whoever he's using and whatever he's using, is going to run right over you. But if you keep moving, God can keep working. And that's why God gives this direction and it applies today. I just love it. You got to catch this stuff. To see in the Lord, you know, why are you crying out to me? I thought, that sounds like some real tough, grizzled first sergeant. That's like a gun eat all first class, doesn't it? Why are you talking to me? you know, they say it in a little different language, but move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Now get this. God says this again, and here's what he's saying. I'm going to make them even more like steel, like flint. They can't even feel for themselves now. They're going to do something totally stupid. They won't even be able to reason and have any feeling for themselves and what's about to happen. So he says, I'll harden the hearts of Egyptians so they'll go in after them. See, do you see why he's saying that? I'm going to make them where they can't even have feeling for their own lives. Because I want them to be stupid enough with their hardness of heart to go driving into two walls of water on this dry land. You know, you see this part and you're going to drive into that? You think about that. How hardened you have to be. We can say that's courageous and all that. Don't think so. This is what happens when you've let anger, you've let rage, you've let bitterness, all of this in your heart so long that you become this way, where you walk and do stupid things, where you'll murder someone, you'll even end up killing yourself. Think about it. Doesn't anger kill the owner of the anger eventually? That's why God says, don't even let the sun go down. You know, don't kill yourself that way. You kill others, but you kill yourself. So I will harden the heart so they'll go in after them, and I'll gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots, his horsemen, the Egyptians, to know I'm the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, here he is, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew, went behind them. And the pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. And the pillar of cloud came between the armies of Egypt and Israel. So here's the angel of the Lord behind Israel. Here's the pillar of cloud between Israel and the Egyptians. And what else? Get this. Catch this. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. You see, when you harden your heart, nothing but darkness descends. But when you keep your heart open to Jesus Christ, the light of the Lord will always shine for you and lighten your path. See? There it is. I mean, this is nothing but, I mean, this is just a type of Christ, a type of God's working in the New Testament. Here it is. So there's the cloud and darkness on these with hardened hearts. But light to those. Light to those who are God's people, who have at least some little bit of faith. And there's Moses, a man of faith, standing there. And so they get the light, and the others are in darkness. And so it kept them from coming together and fighting or anything happening during the whole night. And so then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind. You know, you see in the movie, Moses stretches out his hand, the sea parts. Moses stretched out his hand, and all night long, I don't know how strong it was, but it says a strong, powerful east wind blew. And through God using the wind, natural elements, and then God's supernatural power, he split the sea. He opened it up. So that holding up the staff began as night fell. And all night long, it says that this wind blew, and God split the waters, divided them, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, the wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down at the pillar of fire and cloud the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. That's what God will do if you just step out just a little mustard seed of faith. He'll take your enemy and turn them against each other. He threw them into confusion. I love this stuff. It's like, yes, it applies to today, but just reading this event, and we don't call it a story. It's an event. It's a happening. It's a real thing. So, the Egyptians are crossing over, and what does it say? He made the wheels in verse 25. You need to mark this stuff. God made the wheels of their chariots come off. It's like when you read that in the Hebrew, it says he twisted the wheels, and some of the wheels came off, and the other wheels twisted where they were wobbling on the axles, and they were getting stuck. And it's like, look how God does. I mean, really. I mean, it's almost like God is saying, what a sense of humor here. And it's like, oh, you boys want to pursue them? Well, can you do it with broken chariots? So the wheels are falling off. They're wobbling. These people have first-class equipment. They know instantly this is not mechanics. Something huge is happening here. So look at this. These hardened hearts are having a moment, an aha moment. Uh-oh. We should have seen this before. Listen, when your heart's hardened, you don't see what God's doing until it's too late. Now, all of a sudden, they have this epiphany. and the wheels come off, and the Egyptians said, let's go away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Now you see it. But see, when you harden your heart too long, when you stubbornly resist the Lord too far, you're going to find yourself with no place to go and the walls of the sea about to close in on you. And sometimes you begin say, oh my God, and he's saying, you should have said that before you got here. And that's what happened here. They realized the Lord's fighting for Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, just stretch out your hand over the sea. The waters may flow back over the Egyptians, their chariots and horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it. Now, do you ever catch this? See, if you just watch the movie, you don't catch what really happened. They are fleeing toward it. They're what? Towards what? They're trying to get out of there. And some of them probably would have, but you don't miss what the scripture says. And the Lord swept them into the sea. Not only were they going to be stuck there, those that were trying to get away and might have escaped, God, however he did that, he swept them back. It's like, listen, don't push God too far. I mean, when you do, they weren't getting out. They hardened their hearts, and then all of a sudden, the Lord's fighting for them. Let's get out of here. It's really hard to get. Can you imagine if you're up at the front of the line and all these hundreds of chariots are behind you and you try to turn around and now you got to go against this whole armored column? You're in trouble. You're not going to move very fast. So they're all jumping ship and they're trying to get out of there. And not only did they not get out of there, it says God swept them. Threw them back in. You know, for God, it's just, get back, boy. Tinker Toys. yeah, sorry, Major. Not today. It's really how he works. This is God at work. So this is what happened to him, and he swept them into the sea, and the water flowed back, covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Didn't know the rest of the story there. The water flowed back, and the next day, all they saw were the bodies of the Egyptians just everywhere. And you say, so let's look at the practical application. We're freezing to death. Okay, let's do it. And so here's, you know, a lot of people say, okay, that's a good happening. Okay, some say, you know, when you read something like this, oh, that's very good, but how does it apply to me today? Well, let me tell you something. Here's your response to that. If anybody ever asks you that, if you share this story, you read this story to somebody, or whatever, have you tell them what happened here, you know, tell them all the great insights that happened with it, like I'm trying to do up here today, you know, like the Lord's giving them to me, and somebody says, well, that's real good, but that was Old Testament. That happened back then. How does that apply to me today? And all you got to do is say this. Listen, mister, ma'am, have you ever had your back up against the wall, the sea, And it's all raining down on your head, and hell's flowing at you, and the floods are coming? Is your house about to blow apart with finances, with somebody after you, with a big bad divorce coming, whatever it is, and your back's against it? If you've never been there, well, then you won't understand. But if you have, then you understand this story and its application. How does it apply today? It's real. Because anytime your back's up against it and you have nowhere to turn, you're right there at the Red Sea and you need the waters to part. You ever been there? You know, in that metaphorical sense, in that sense of, you know, we've all been there, and the sea's behind us, and there's mountains over here. They're in the enemies in front. Where are you going to go? God allows those circumstances. Well, I'm getting into my notes on practical application, but he allows these things to happen in our lives so we can learn to trust him. But it's also God wants to do what God does best. He wants to show how powerful He is, and He still loves to work miracles. So if you're wondering why you get up against it once in a while, and you have a Red Sea experience yourself, that's why. So it does apply. And you'll remember this when you're up against it and say, I know some folks that were up against it, and I know how God delivered them. So let me give this practical application. These are notes on this. This is some things we learn. If you read it yourself, God will show you more. But here's what God's given me to give to you. Number one, don't second guess God. How many of you second guess yourselves? You make a decision and, okay, don't we all at times? You make a decision and then and you believe the best information you have, and you've read and you've prayed, you've done everything you know to do, you try to do it right, and then it's coming against you. It doesn't seem to be working out, and you start second guessing yourself. Well, maybe I, and maybe what if it could have. Don't second guess God. Don't ask yourself like they were doing, why did you do this? Maybe we would have been better off if we'd have stayed in slavery. Moses is not the one. God, maybe we didn't hear your voice. Have you ever done that? Maybe I didn't hear you. Maybe I missed your will. Don't second guess God. When you have directions from Him and His Word, His Holy Spirit affirms it. You pray it. You know it. You make the decision. Don't second guess Him. Keep moving. Just like He told the people, don't whine, move. He's had to tell me that myself many a time. Don't second guess me, Tony. Don't say to me, did I miss your will? Where did I blow it? How did I not hear you? See, that's second guessing God. Well, anyway, you get it. Secondly, you got to learn, don't judge by looks. Don't judge by feelings. And don't judge by circumstances. And too many times, we look and it's against us. We look at a checkbook and it's like, no way. Right? You know, you're right up against it. The Red Sea is at your back. What are we going to do? And those feelings come up. And those feelings are saying to you, oh, woulda, shoulda, coulda. If I just hadn't have bought that, if I'd have done that. And some of that may be true. But hey, you're where you are. You're where you are. Don't trust your feelings. I mean, these people here are looking at a whole army facing them. And their feelings are saying what their eyes see. What did their eyes see? Listen to me. What did their eyes see? Disaster. Death. Maiming. Annihilation. Now, if they'd have been real smart, they'd have been thinking, can't kill us all. He came out here to bring us back. If he kills us all, he's defeated his purpose. He needs us to work. So he'll just beat us real good, okay? But when you're stressed and you're panicking, you don't think like that, do you? You think what? The worst. Your feelings tell you the worst. And circumstances, you're looking at it and saying, there's no way. I hear people today saying, there's no way that this country's ever going to come back. There's no way. Are you kidding me? I've seen Israel, and you read through Scripture, totally decimated, beat up. Babylonians take them into captivity, whatever, and then Almighty God raises His hand and speaks the word, and they're brought out of the ashes. Don't you ever give up. No, sir. Don't give the enemy not one moment of victory thinking. Defeat him. So just don't judge by all these looks and feelings and circumstances. Oh, yeah. There will be times when God will put your back up against the wall, the sea behind you. Don't quit. That's the third one. The third insight here is don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't start. Listen, the worst thing you can do is what these people did. What'd they do? Why'd you bring us here? We'd have been better in the desert. What were they doing? We're feeling sorry for ourselves. Poor us. Don't we all do that? Send somebody to send me a wambulance. I just want to cry. I heard that in a movie once. Oh, it was the kid. Nobody's seen it. Okay. It was with Bruce Willis. It's a neat movie. And the little kid's whining and all. And he said, you just come here to call for an a whambulance? You want a whambulance? You know, don't start whining and crying. We all did it. You want somebody to come feel sorry for us. Help us. Poor pitiful me. Don't start complaining, because that's dishonoring to the Lord. Which we have a tendency, and we'll start doing it, but let God convict you of it real quick. You see, always tell yourself this. Listen to me. Don't start this stuff. Don't start getting into yourself. You know why? Tell yourself, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're thinking, tell yourself and remember this. I have a seat across. I have a sea to cross. I'm just waiting for God to part the waters. So when you get all down in the mouth and it's all depression and oppression, let God come through with this. I have a sea to cross. Now I'm just going to hold up my hands to the Lord and let Him part that sea, and I'm going on. I'm not about to stand here and be beat up with my emotions and my feelings. Isn't this good stuff? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's neat stuff. Let me give you this fourth insight. You are never really up against it with God. You just think you are. You're never at the end of it. You're never done for. Oh, no. You know why He lets us get there? To mold us, to change us, to teach us to quit clinging to what we feel, what we maybe learned in the past, bad behavior, looking at circumstances, all this stuff. And God is saying, he lets us go through these things that where we feel like, man, I don't know where to go. We're caught here. He lets that happen so that you will finally turn from trying to do it in your own strength and say, God, if you don't part the sea, then I'm done for. But whether you part it or not, I will stand here and I'm yours and you've got me and you've got this. Thy will be done. That's where He's trying to take us to if we'll just let Him. Listen. Let me give you the fifth one. Facing hard situations, it's just part of being in Christ. It's part of following Christ. Do you know that? Facing hard situations, it's a part of following Christ. Well, don't we get that? Facing difficulties, what do you think is going to happen when you're a Christian? The devil doesn't like you, and his people who serve him don't like you. So they'll say something, they'll come after you, they'll do everything they can to mess up your life. Just accept it. I could not still be up here doing this job if I hadn't accepted a long time ago that the devil and his, whoever serves him, or whoever's temporarily serving him, is just not going to like me. What do you learn in sales school, you know? Back in the old days, you learn to sell things. When they say no, say next. Move on. Keep moving. Don't wall around in it. Don't see it as rejection. When they say no, say next. Now, hey, you know, still haven't found somebody in your life yet that keeps saying no, just say next. There'll be one around. I've seen some people I thought that couldn't find anybody, and I'd turn around and they said, will you do our wedding for us? And you're going, what? There's somebody for everybody. There's a doe for every buck. There's a cow for every bull. There's somebody for somebody. Even if you act like an ornery old scratch and tearing up the fence, bull! There'll be some cow walk up on the other side of the fence and wink her little cowy eyes at you. It's just part of being Christian. Hey, hang in there. Don't quit. Follow. Just get these practical applications. You know what God was doing here? Listen to me. And we're closing. My arms are starting to actually get, I'm getting kind of real cold up here. I need my coat on. God uses these situations, and we've got to see it from His perspective, and you must see it. You know what He's doing here? He's using this situation to expose the enemy for what they are. He's bringing them out in the open so they can be dealt with publicly in front of all Israel and in front of Pharaoh. So when somebody's after you, things aren't going well, remember something. God's using this to bring them out in the open so we can all see their shame and their destruction. This applies right now to a bunch of things going on in this world. Over there in Israel, Hamas, in the Middle East, and right up here in our capital. God's bringing them in the open. I've said this before, but it's true. And secondly, God is showing you how to deal with you. You ready for that one? Situations that are tough, that put you up against the wall, the sea, brings out your fear, your lack of faith, or your little mustard, less than a mustard seed of faith, brings out your temper, brings out your cussing, it brings out your self-centeredness, it does all these things. And God uses these things to bring all that stuff out so you can see it for yourself and see what He has to see and get it dealt with. Repent of it and get over it. Let Him forgive you and deliver you from it. And see, we can conceal these things from ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We're in denial. And we conceal them from other people until we're up against the wall. And don't we do then say the strangest things when we're under pressure? How many of you under stress have brought out this weakness? You know, it's just going bad for you. The kids are acting up. Kids can make you want to shoot yourself. I mean, you know, if you sometimes. But anyway. Yeah, okay. But how many, really? You get up against the wall and you say, why don't God just kill me? Why don't He just take me up? You ever done that? And who are you talking about? Me. Me. You know, why has this happened to me? Why didn't it happen to old evil so-and-so right down there? Nobody can stand him. You know what you're doing? You're cranking that little me cycle, right? Meow, meow, meow. Down the road you go. This stuff brings that out. And God says, look at you. Look at your fears. Look at your distrust, lack of faith. Look at the me cycle, the poor me, pity me. And He said, I'm using this to bring that out so you can learn to deal with you. It's been a many year, but I know those who have been there can tell you there's times and there's places where you have to deal with you. And you have to let your fears, you know they're there, but you have to keep moving on in spite of them. And one of the great lessons in life is, if you think that there'll never be fear in your life, you are totally mistaken. It's not the absence of fear that makes a courageous person. It's going on in spite of it. There have been times when I've been so scared. You know, could feel my hands doing this. And then there's that little voice saying, don't let them see that. Because fear is contagious. Deal with it. Learn to deal with you. And everybody in this room I know can identify with this. You ever been in that uniform very long, you can deal with it. You know what I'm talking about. Because you're put in situations and I mean you feel like your body's freezing up, locking. And yet you know, you look around and you've got to keep going. People are depending on me. As a pastor, I can't let fear, my personal issues, struggles, cause me to start doing this in my spirit, my emotions, and even physically, because you are looking at me, and for your sake alone, I must keep going in spite of what I feel. You too. Your family needs it. Your kids need it. Your husband and wife needs it. You think about it. And most of all, though, when you're backed up against that sea, Let God deal with what comes out. Learn to deal with you. And then we look at just letting God do what God does best. He just loves to reach down and get us when our little hands are clinging to the very end of the rope. This is it. We're doing the Fred Sanford thing, right? This is the big one, Lord. This is the big one. And we're saying, I'm going. You know what God says to you? You've heard this, been with me a while, but you've heard this in other messages, but it's so true. It bears saying again. There's so many times we're hanging on to our rope, and God is all the time is saying, let go. I brought you this place to stop depending on yourself and being so blasted independent and stubborn and hard-headed. Quit hanging on to your little man-made rope. Turn loose. I got you. That's what he did to them. These folks have been slaves 400 years and had to turn them into real believing people in a hurry. Well, that'll do it. That'll start anyway. They had to go through Sinai, Mount Sinai. But hey, so what time is it? Good, we're closing. So let me wrap it with this. Bad people and hard situations, you keep this in your mind, they're just an instrument in God's hands. That's it. They're just an instrument. And God knows how to twist them and move them and do exactly what he wants to do. God uses, listen, God uses everything in life to turn to our good. Everything. That's what it says right there in the New Testament in Romans. All things, God causes all things to work to the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You know what God was doing here most of all? Besides teaching his people to have faith, you know what his ultimate objective was? He was showing Pharaoh who was God. And many times in our lives, we need to give God room and let God use us to show our enemies that he is God and they're not. I know some folks right now that I see on television once in a while that I would really like to get that list across to, wouldn't you? Yeah, I would. And I believe God is in some ways. You watch. Well, okay. You don't get away. These are all insights, just pulling from there. I'd say, God, show me as much as you can show me and then get in real quick. You don't ever get away with harming God's chosen people. You can't win. You can't win. When you defy God, it will ruin and destroy you. Isn't that what happened? I'm working through these fast, sorry. Maybe you can listen to this again if you want to take some. There's good stuff in here. I took lots of notes on it. God just pouring this in my heart and I'm just writing away. Just trust God and do what he says. God uses situations, circumstances that are not desirable in your life to expose the enemy, to help you deal with you, to allow him to do something great. But most of all, to show you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you and that your God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. See how this pulls into the New Testament? Helps you understand it and grasp it. And then we close with this. And to teach you that greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. God will let you get there. And you look up to him and hold your hands to him. And he will part that sea. Because he knows things you don't. And he can do what you can't do. And you remember that always. My God reigns. Father, thank you for the word and the power of it. Thank you for your people being out here today. Got them all safe home. And God, we love you. Thank you. Praise you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.